I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Dave and DeGenevieve. Be Ready Utah. In-depth coverage with David Dujanovic.
I googled Be Ready Utah, beready.utah.gov, because we're talking about wildfires and this wildfire that's burning east of Salt Lake County right now. It looks like they're going to get it under control. It's thankfully there's some cooler temperatures. But the first thing that came up, Dave, is it says what we can do to prevent wildfires. Stop dragging your chains. Stop dragging your chains.
I love it because I totally did that this weekend. As I said, went camping, I towed a trailer, and I had some pretty long chains on the trailer, and I consciously made the effort to shorten them up. And
Did you twist them? I do
a little twist. I don't know if that's like the best thing you're supposed to do.
The links out?
If you're supposed to take links out. I give it just a couple twists. It shortens the chain so it's not dragging. I throw the safety chains on there. And it was great, but it was a conscious effort because I was thinking about it.
But you didn't know about this wildfire in Wasatch County. And in fact, what's so weird about it and why we decided to jump on this early is because it was actually snowing at your campsite.
Yes.
So the idea.
Last thing on my mind.
Wildfire, it seems strange.
Yeah, very, very strange. And then we kind of went down the rabbit hole of, okay, well, if we have wildfires right now, what's it going to look like later on in the summer? And are we going to have enough water in the reservoirs that you can dip your buckets into and fight it? Because you look at those reservoirs right now, and they're a disaster.
Not good. Mike Erickson is the area manager for the Utah Division of Forestry and Lands. He called in moments ago and he said it is not looking good when it comes to getting rain this summer. In fact, the monsoon season is looking bleak.
This year, it's still a ways out. We don't know what we will get, but it's not looking good. And I think that's probably why the governor's out there in Delta, as you mentioned, talking about not only prevention, but things that we can do to, mitigate the risk and be a little safer while we're out.
We do need to be a little bit safer while we're out. And I like that the governor is talking about this. He's gone, I think just a little bit west of Fillmore out in Delta area. What are we doing? And not just in our own homes, but what are we doing as a city and a community? Mm. Because again, Kaysville, there's no wildfire danger in Kaysville. But up in Fruit Heights, that's right on the mountain. Okay, now there's significant danger up there. What are we doing to help prevent? Because there are danger zones. Not every mountain is the same. It's not the same danger, but there are some real danger zones, and I think we ignore them far too long. And then when there is a fire, we scramble, and we try to get it put out as quickly as possible. But I wonder if there's one of those ounce of prevention is a pound of cure issues going on.
So here's a stat when I googled beready.utah.gov. Exercise your fire sense to prevent roughly 70% of Utah wildfires. Exercise your fire sense to prevent them from happening in the first place. So what are you doing to contribute to wildfire season? Are you dragging your chains? Is your tire pressure so low you're going to blow a tire? And is that going to spark a fire? Are you throwing cigarettes out the window? Do people still do that? I don't know. let's bring on Carl Hunt. He's a public information officer for the Utah Division of Forestry, Fire, and State Lands. I love this simple kind of kitchen table advice, Carl, that I found this morning, which is stop dragging the chains, don't throw cigarette butts out the window, and, you know, make sure your tires aren't going to blow. Dave's more curious about what cities and counties can do to help prevent wildfires. So why don't we turn to you? What can they do?
Well, everybody needs to make a more conscious effort of the behaviors that we do when we're outdoors. And think of, okay, does this have a potential to start a wildfire? People like to have, you know, little campfires in their backyard. If you live close to those wildland areas, you know, you're up on the bench area, maybe we don't try to build it so big. We want to make sure it's put out. We're dragging our chains. We want to make sure those are tied up. Because roadside starts have been a very big issue here in the state of Utah, and that's where a lot of our fires can start. So if we do some of those little things, those behavior modifications, that'll help really reduce that fire risk. And also fireworks. Just don't light fireworks in areas that have a potential to catch fire.
Carl, I had an experience last year. I was on a whitewater rafting trip, and I was towing a trailer. My tire blew, and I was sending sparks down the road as if I was trying to, you know, start a fire along I-15. I mean, it was incredible. By the time I noticed it and got pulled off to the side, I thought I could have started 50 fires for, you know, a mile by the time I actually got pulled over. But I think checking tires, checking the quality of your tire, being aware, that was something that was an experience for me.
Absolutely. Basic vehicle maintenance can help prevent a lot of that as well. We always say dragging the trailer chains because that's just a common thing that happens. But pay attention to what's happened behind you with your trailer. If you have a blowout, like you said, you can be throwing sparks and that can start a fire.
Driving on the rim. He's driving on the rim.
Yeah, riding on the rim. So just do basic vehicle maintenance. Check your tires. Make sure they're in good condition and they're not worn out. And that will save you trouble on the road as well as trouble from, you know, possibly starting the wildfire.
These are really great pieces of advice for us, but I also wonder what can we do on a larger scale. I wonder how often do city councils or county councils, do they look at their own area and say, what are we doing to prevent and create a safe zone? Because obviously there's some real danger zones. Are we doing enough on the city county level to prepare?
So each county and city officials can work with our wildland urban interface coordinators that are in the different areas of the state, and they can come up with a community preparedness plan that helps communities be prepared for a wildfire on how they can work to prevent as well as be prepared in case one comes toward their town or their community.
Carl Hunt is the public information officer for the Utah Division of Forestry, Fire, and State Lands on the line with us live as we get ready for fire season. We want to be ready. We had a situation many years ago happen in our own community. You would never know. There's this massively, you know, open field with grass that was sandwiched between a bunch of homes, Carl. And out of the blue, and it was the middle of the summer, pops this fire. I don't know remember the exact cause, and I want to say it was kids playing with matches or fireworks, but don't fact check me on that. I may be wrong. But anyway, needless to say, here comes this massive wildfire right toward our neighborhood, and we were in the backyard spraying, you know, the yards down with hoses and the roofs down and the fences down with hoses. And would you believe it? After that happened, when the grass grew back up, they went in and they weed whacked it all down, which helped us in the future from having a similar situation happen. And that's why I think to Dave's point about worrying about what cities and towns are doing, these are the kinds of fields that get overlooked, but yet the impact just could have been devastating on many, 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 many homeowners in that area.
That is correct, and it can be. Homeowners can do a lot to prepare their properties, especially if you are next to a big grass field like that. We like to use the term defensible space, creating that barrier where you can defend your property if a wildfire comes. And cities and communities, you know, being aware of those trouble areas and doing some work to mitigate those fuel risks does go a long way to helping protect those homeowners.
Carl Hunt, thank you for joining us. Public Information Officer at Utah Division of Forestry, Fire, and State Lands.
So if I had to do that over again, Dave, I would have looked out in that field about this time of year, and I would have said, wow, that grass is really high. What do we need to do as a community to make sure that that doesn't ignite and wipe out all, you have the potential to wipe out homes?
Well, and it can't fall on one individual. It can't fall on just a handful of neighbors that are aware. This is where the city and the state have to work together to identify some of these danger areas and make sure that perhaps there is a fire break, something, you know, that you can do to prepare and make sure, you know, that you're prepared, yeah, as a community, that it just doesn't fall on Debbie Dujanovic. Like, Deb, go out there with your weed whacker and knock some stuff down.
But I would. You know I would.
You totally would, yeah, for maybe a weekend. What about next week? All right, have questions about emergency preparedness? Not sure where to start? Find the answers at BeReady.Utah.gov.
Did you see this new survey, Dave, that came out about what's going to happen to our kids as housing prices go up and up and up? It's specifically dealing with the kids who are in, you know, our kids' age, 18 to 25 years old. It's bad news if you want your kids to live down the street from you. You
get them moving.
You want to see your grandbabies once in a while. Yep. They're leaving the state. That's next.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.